This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Black Hawk Up podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Please welcome your hosts, Jimmy Lynch, Patrick McGann, and Jeremiah Lee.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Black Hawk Up podcast. I am Patrick McGann alongside Jimmy Lynch and Jeremiah Lee. We are here on Sunday, October 24th, after the Blackhawks played the Detroit Red Wings on home ice and lost. Yes, they lost. They still have not won a game, and we're here to talk about it.
You know what? I'll say this. 82 games in the season, the Blackhawks are guaranteed to at least win one of those, right? Like,
I think statistics would back you up on that one. At least one. Maybe not two.
Maybe we can have a lead at some point. The first 360 minutes, no lead. But maybe one of the next couple games we'll get there. Tonight.
They were close tonight. It was tied for a little bit.
That's all that matters. Counts in hockey, I guess.
They're always so close, and then they just flub up for 15 minutes, and they lose the entire game for those 15 minutes.
I obviously, most of you listening are going to agree with the fact that nobody likes Jeremy Colleton right now. I think there are very few people that are wanting him to continue to act as the Blackhawks coach. I don't know if I'd be correct in assuming that, but
I would definitely bet on that.
Let's just set an agreement right now between the three of us. You know, we've talked about Jeremy Colleton a lot. We've written about Jeremy Colleton a lot. Let's just not even say his name this podcast. Let's not talk about them firing him. We thought it would have happened after the home opener, after the next game, let's just avoid Jeremy Colleton as a talking point tonight. It's almost a point where everyone knows. They're 0-5-1. Everyone knows.
I guess coming into this, everyone has their own strong opinions about him, and I guess they don't want to listen to us rant about that for the whole time. But and we can you know talk about the next hirees as much as we want, but let's just kind of talk about what we've seen on the ice and the product that's been being put out there, regardless of the guidance from the suit behind the bench.
Let's start with this real fast. Let's talk about the fact that we haven't had a lead in the entirety of the season thus far. We set a record for the worst start in Chicago Blackhawks history. Okay. That is insane. The fact that we were having the worst start with a playoff caliber roster. That shouldn't happen. This happened in the early 2000s because our roster absolutely sucked, right? We can come to agreement with that, right? In the early 2000s, the roster was horrendous. Nobody thought they would do anything. Yet this team that people thought would be a playoff team has the worst start in franchise history. Like, who thought that would happen in the start of the season? I don't think anybody thought that.
I think what also really hurts is last year, you know, similar start to the season during those first couple games in Tampa and then Florida. But what changed for that team? It was a game at home against Detroit. That's what got them on track. They won a game at home against Detroit.
We thought that's what it could have been, right? I mean, we talked.
That was last season. That was not this season.
But the last podcast we had, let me pull it up. We were like, okay, we have this homestand. Okay, it's been bad. We were like, okay, it's been bad, but it can get better. Vancouver at home, Detroit at home, plenty of rest.
And then they get absolutely trounced in all of those games.
The rest is history.
Just flat out trounced, man. They got dominated in every single game thus far.
And only you know what? From here.
I feel like tonight is – it's kind of a – I mean, it's symbolic on a lot of meetings because the Blackhawks had their worst start in regular season history with how many games they've gone without having a lead. And then also tonight saw the end of the sellout streak at 535 games.
Very fitting.
It's that. Extremely I mean, fitting. You could not have asked for a better day, right? Like, a better day for that to end, for to have not as many fans in the stands. And guys, let me just name the next three teams that the team is going to play, because this is not going to get any easier. Nope. We have Toronto on Wednesday, Carolina on Friday, and St. Louis on Saturday away. Saturday, both away.
They get 2 days of rest to play Toronto, and then they get a day of rest, and they go back-to-back at Carolina, at St. Louis. So, I mean, on paper, they're not going to win any of those three games.
They're not.
I mean, on paper, but what if they just pull a Toronto win out of their butts? I mean, I just the kind of team this team is. I just beat, they should be the team. I don't know. But on paper, they're not supposed to win those games.
All right, let's look over the current stats that they have right now. So they have an average schedule, according to Hockey Reference, 17th out of 32. And they are the worst team in the NHL, like literally the worst team. They're 29th in goals against, 31st in goals for, unless that might have changed over the course of this season. But I don't envision them getting anywhere. Literally anywhere. Their systems are horrendous. Jeremy Colliton cannot make any adjustments to save his life. Marc-Andre Fleury may be washed, or it could be just be a system issue. One of our contributors said something about this too, saying that the system is not meant for a veteran goaltender. You cannot expect a veteran goaltender to save 40 shots every single game, right? Yeah.
Let me feel bad for him. Like, I genuinely think that I would – I mean, obviously, you're going to have goals here or there that you can blame the goaltender on in any situation, but I feel he made a decision to come to Chicago, and you know, after he was promised his family settling down in Vegas and you know, not having to go anywhere again, and then he's got to go to Chicago – and now deal with all this going on. I feel bad for him because he does not. He's a legendary goaltender. He doesn't deserve this. And
so true.
You know, maybe he's washed a little bit, but in my personal opinion, I just feel bad for him because it's not his fault. He chose out of his own, you know, he chose to come here and play and give it a chance. And it's just been, you know,
I mean,
awful for him so far.
I'd say this though. It's, yes, he's not looked great to start the season, but it's hard to blame him completely for all this. It's the entire team. They have not been good. And it's at the point where to me, if you have Marc-Andre Fleury on this team and they keep losing, do him the favor of sending him elsewhere. Like, get him out of here. I mean, I also know maybe he'd just be like, no, I'm done. I'm going to retire. But if I was a team like Edmonton who has Mike Smith out, or any number of teams looking for just like that one last missing piece, which is a goalie, the Blackhawks could hold back half that salary easily. Obviously, I think they would just ask him, like, do you want to go back to Pittsburgh? Do you want to go to Florida and play at a really good team down there? Like, whatever you want to do, we'll make it work. And, you know, that's a conversation for later in the year if this continues. But, yes, tonight there were a lot of bad plays on Fleury's part. I mean, he just kind of looked confused out there at times. But so did most of the team.
Guys, let me read this quote from Mark Lazarus right now. Seth Jones, 100% this team has faith in Jeremy. I've been here for a short time, but his message has been great for us. ... This isn't a coaching problem. This is a locker room thing. The players on the ice playing the game.
You know what? We can hear that over and over again. But at the same time, didn't make a difference for Joel Quenneville. I would say this is a worse start than what Joel Quenneville did in 2018-19. And I know it's different because Jeremy Colliton was in the wings, but Joel Quenneville got fired for less.
Joel Quenneville took a rebuilding team to 6-6-3.
Yes.
6-6-3 with the rebuilding roster, with a bunch of young prospects, some of them who shouldn't even be in the NHL. They fire him after 6-6-3, unless I am completely mistaken on that. All I remember is 15 games. Jeremy Colliton currently is 0-5-1 with a playoff caliber team built by Stan Bowman. Based off of what Jeremy Colliton asked Stan Bowman to go and get. And we're, you know, second to last in the entire league right now. That's not supposed to happen. But it's happening. You know,
Pat, I'm looking at you and I could see you have something to say, but I want to say this first. I know I already just said, let's not talk about Jeremy Colliton. So fine. I won't mention his name in this. But if you're the general manager and you won't make this change, I guess maybe the general manager has to go and the coach. Like,
that was my article. That's my article for tomorrow.
I know you're, I know maybe it's a little spoiler for Jeremiah's article tomorrow, but hey, just kind of float that idea.
That's, I mean, that's a big boy move right there though. Like, do we really think the Hawks are going to have, you know, the willpower to actually get, is the president going to say, all right, you're both done, gone, terminated? That's,
I president mean, this, of it, hockey it, ops is Stan Bowman.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, literally, Rocky Wirtz has to fire this guy. Like, he's not going anywhere. But Rocky's not going to do that because he's like, right, oh, he brought us three Stanley Cups. His dad is our senior hockey advisor. What am I supposed to do? Even though our team is going to go like 0-15-1 to start the season, we lose all of our crowd. We have no season tickets and we get booed out the S consistently. What can we do about that? I'm like, just fire the dude. You're the owner, are you not? I have such strong opinions on this right now. Like, this is so frustrating for everybody.
Yeah.
Wait, Pat, let me tell you this, okay? While we were watching the game, right? Eddie Olczyk, the most even-keeled individual in hockey broadcasting, absolutely snapped. He snapped on the broadcast for Edzo's, you know, expectation. It was so funny, but it wasn't funny. It was just weird because he never blows up like that.
Right.
You
right.
heard the frustration in his voice. Like,
yeah. It's,
I've been watching this team on TV for the past like 7-8 years, and I've never heard him blow up like that. This is how bad this team's playing right now.
It's crazy. I mean, it's hard to believe that this franchise was so successful not too long ago. And you know, it my question is like, how much longer does this go on? Like, are they just gonna let Stan Bowman and Jeremy Colleton run this team into the ground until there's no life in it at all? Like, are we going back to the days where you take current players and put them in at LaSalle Street Station, giving out free tickets to fans because no one comes? Are we going to go back to those days, you know, early 2000s?
We might.
If we are, let me know because I'll be there. I'll be down at LaSalle Street Station. True.
I was about to say.
But it's such a weird – position. And then if you go online right now, the issue I think for the Blackhawks is this is picking up, like everyone around the league is looking at this is right. No longer just a in-house fan annoyance of fire everyone. This is blowing up. Everyone around the league is talking about it now, and you have all these different national reporters talking about it. And like, one look at Liam McHugh tweets out a video or a photo of Jeremy Colleton handing the clipboard to the players during the timeout when his team's down like 6-3 with 7 minutes left in the game. He's handing the clipboard to the players. Whose job is that? It's the assistant coaches, the coach himself. And yeah, maybe that's a sign of like, all right, we're going to let you guys be creative and see what you want to do. But also it does kind of reflect on, do you not have faith in your guys? Do you not have faith in yourself to do this? Right now, I feel like if there was ever a game that was a bad time for the cameras to be on the coach, it would be when you're in this position, because that one image, which if you're listening to this, I'm sure you saw it. If not, just look it up yourself.
Yeah.
That's going to just blow this out of proportion too.
Do we think that was Jeremy Colleton literally saying like, okay, I know I'm getting fired tomorrow? Was that
him? I don't think so.
I don't think this guy's getting fired, but go ahead.
I don't think so, because Stan Bowman's like, we're not going to get too worried about this until it gets completely out of hand. He's like, this team needs patience. And I'm like, okay, how much more patience do you need, man? Jeremy Colleton sucks. He's an AHL caliber coach at best. His assistants are also AHL caliber. Thomas Vitel does nothing. Sheldon Brookpink is horrible. Only Mark Crawford knows what he's doing, and Jimmy Waite. You get rid of Jeremy Colleton, Vitel, and Brookpink. Quinton Crawford as the interim head coach. Maybe this team will actually do something and get towards wild card. But I really, he needs to get fired. Like, this is the last straw. Like, I understand if you're Steve Kerr with like all-star roster on your bench and then they come up with a play like they did with the Golden State Warriors. But when you have a team that's struggling like this, you can't just give them the whiteboard. I guess because Mark Crawford has had the whiteboard in every single timeout. You guys probably saw this, right? Like every single timeout, every single stoppage, Mark Crawford has that whiteboard. The fact that Mark Crawford has the whiteboard, not Jeremy Colleton, And then when Mark Crawford's not there, Jeremy Colleton goes, I don't know what I'm doing. Here, you guys try something. That's like literally give Mark Crawford head coaching title by this point.
I think it's a combination of a lot of different things right now with this team where you have none of, I mean, let's be honest, no one on the roster has been like, oh my God, I've been loving the way this guy's playing. You know, no one has. Nobody. So like Patrick Kane only having a goal, DeBrincat having two through the first five games, not going into tonight.
This is also worth noting. I mean, I'm sure most Blackhawks fans know this, but Patrick Kane not even in the lineup tonight, COVID protocol. That's also some news coming out of, you know.
Well, yeah, that's unfortunate, but you got to find a way to – I feel like the Blackhawks, on paper, if you had said going into the season, Kane missing a night with COVID protocol, I would still say the Blackhawks should beat Detroit.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, yeah. Just
no, yeah, yeah.
Fans updated, yeah. But yeah, right. Fair point. Like, yeah. He doesn't play tonight.
But even before that, none of these guys are being productive. None of them are. And you see Jeremy Colleton try and change up the lines to make different guys work out. But it's kind of a duplicate of what happened to Dylan Strome the last couple of years, where after having like a good year, after a first couple of games, what do? Well, we're just going to drop him on the fourth line. You know, you have the Blackhawks just decide after like a couple bad games to dump Tyler Johnson on like the fourth line or third line the last couple games after they try all preseason and all of training camp to play him with DeBrincat and Kane. And just the line juggling, it worked with Coach Quenneville. It's not working now. And some of the moves he's making, it just does not make sense.
Nothing of what he's doing makes any sense right now. I mean, honestly, Dylan Strome is making up one of the most effective lines in 5v5 for the Blackhawks right now with Adam Gaudette and Henrik Borgstrom. That line was the standout line for tonight, in my opinion. But yeah, the fact that that's the only line that's doing anything effective in the offensive zone is very discouraging, to say the least.
Hey,
Dylan Strome's getting paid. You know what? I'm going to write an article about the penalty kill because I've never seen the Blackhawks penalty kill at like 93% effective, best in the league. And I know it's still early.
That's Mark Crawford, by the way, man. That's all Mark Crawford.
That's just – what world are we – is the world upside down where the penalty kill is just like through the roof despite the team being this bad? And I mean, no, it makes sense that the penalty kill should be good. You have a Hall of Fame goalie and you have a pretty good defense on paper and on – while they're defending, I guess. But
right,
it's I don't know what else to say. Go ahead, Pat. Go ahead, Jeremiah. Someone just run with it, whoever you want.
My thing with the special teams is that they have guys on that ice that know where they need to be and what they need to do. On 5v5, they don't have that. That's my current, you know, consensus right now. Does anybody disagree, or are we all in agreement
I
right now?
I think I mean, Jimmy will get this, but we can employ the Jimmy NHL 14 strategy where you play the whole game on the penalty kill and win the game.
So what Pat's saying is, when Pat and I used to play video games in NHL against each other,
yeah,
I would let him have the puck in the offensive zone all game. Like, all game. I would just sit there and I would block shots. I would, you know, put on my defense into like literally a box in front of the net, making sure he can't score any goals. And it would drive him insane because it would just take one odd man rush for me to win and for him to lose. and yeah, I mean, we have one buddy who would literally just outscore us on the penalty kill because when we're on the power play, we don't have any defensive guys out. But you know what? I want to change gears a little bit here, if you guys are right.
Sure.
If you guys are all right with this, can I change gears?
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Are you okay? So one thing we said with the Sunday show was that we would look around the league a little bit and we would talk about teams that aren't the Chicago Blackhawks. Yes. And there's not a better night. There's not a better night to start than tonight with.
I am all for it.
So let's say whatever we want to say about the Blackhawks and then let's talk about something else.
If we talked about the just in general, the new media rights deal with the ESPN and TNT, have we talked about that on any podcast yet?
I don't think we have.
I am a huge fan of TNT and ESPN. I think this is going to do a lot of good things for the league. and just the talent on both ends. You know, we had a there was a studio crew the other night. I'm a huge fan of let me go find the picture of it. But it was an ESPN broadcast, and they were doing their Wednesday night hockey sort of thing. And there you go. Yeah, it was Steve Levy, Mark Messier, and Chicago's own Chris Chelios. And it was just like, it was, you know, the talent they have, fantastic. The production, fantastic. Like, graphics look great. Even like TNT was experimenting with some, like, you know, on ice sort of stuff with like the passing lines, all that sort of thing. And you got a lot of guys who have been in the game for a while. You know, you hear some of the guys who have been on NBC before, but overall, just fantastic so far. Every game I've watched on like ESPN or TNT, just really well done. Really enjoy watching it. And also, like, ESPN's pushing the NHL out almost as much.
A lot more. Yeah. Yes.
Like, they're putting it on their regular programming. I was actually talking to a buddy on Twitter about it. You can go out, look at my Twitter. I was talking to Leo Stalker, another good hockey mind that we know.
At P. McGann 28.
Yeah, yeah. He was we were just talking, going back and forth. He's like, yeah, like, they're literally pushing the NHL during like NBA games and during like SportsCenter. It's like, that's gonna grow the game so much. And like, you go from like ESPN never showing any highlights and Barry Melrose getting like 10 minutes of, you know, on air time a week, to like, you got in the crease, you got like the point, all that sort of thing. And they're diving right in. And I love it. I love it. And maybe that, I don't know if anyone else feels the same way, but I think both TNT and ESPN, fantastic job so far.
I've got to say, like, I know we're a Blackhawk Up podcast here, but I got to say it. Subscribe to ESPN Plus.
Oh my gosh.
Every out-of-market hockey game on ESPN Plus, especially with the Blackhawks being this bad, if you just like hockey too, turn on any game you want. Like, it was great watching the Seattle Kraken in their first home game yesterday. I don't know if either of you caught that game.
Probably love it.
It brings up a question to me, and I have to say, first off the bat, I've been loving ESPN. I've been loving TNT. I've been loving the coverage. I mean, anytime you can see Wayne Gretzky shooting pucks at Charles Barkley in the net, that's kind of fun. during the intermission.
That was golden.
Just compared to them just standing there being like, yeah, you got to get pucks in deep, and looking like they didn't want to be there talking about hockey sometimes. And I did also like NBC, so I'll say that. But
NBC was good. So, but they got to a point where they just kind of it was black and white.
It's something like new and something fresh now. That's the big thing.
And I like how it's not exclusively NBC and like NBCSN, like ESPN and TNT having two separate outlets is good. It's really good.
So talking about that Seattle game, I have to ask you both. The Seattle Kraken yesterday did something I did not expect and was kind of shocked by. They rose a jersey to the rafters. Number 32 is retired in Seattle, because they're the 32nd hockey team in the NHL. That compares in my mind to the Minnesota Wild retiring number one and the National Predators. Yeah. For Minnesota Wild, number one.
It literally says Wild fans. Yeah.
Number one in our hearts, in our mind always. But I have to ask you guys, like, do you like that? Do you like seeing teams retire numbers like that? Jeremiah's shaking his head no, so let's cut to him on that. What do you think?
In my opinion, to retire a number, the player that wore that number has to do something incredible and, like, have a lasting legacy in the mindset of fans, present and future, right? This has to be, like, I know that the Kraken are going to be the last NHL team for a long, long time, right?
Yes.
But at the same time, I'm kind of like, okay, on one side, I'm like, cool, he wants you to retire a jersey number on behalf of the fans to commemorate how you're the second NHL franchise and the last one for potentially the next, like, decade or so. At the same time, I'm like, why would you retire number 32 when you could be giving that number to one of your prospects? They become your franchise player, a la Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews. And then you're like, oh, shoot, we already gave 32 to this person, to nobody, and we retired it immediately when somebody else could have came in, had that number, made number 32, a legacy number, but then have that one be actually honored for a good reason. I don't understand why you would have any interest in retiring a number for no reason. But, I mean, on the fan side of thing, do you want a ceremony, I guess, for your first home game? And I guess that's, like, some way you can cap it off, but I don't understand it. I don't like it, but that's just my opinion. I'm not a CEO or anything, so.
I think it's part of me. Yeah, it's like you kind of want to do something cool to start, you know, your franchise out. And, you know, obviously when you're playing your first NHL game on your home rink, there's no banners up there. So you kind of want to maybe fill it up in a way and put something up there. Cause yeah, you know, it's not cool when your rafters are empty and, you know, it doesn't look very good, but I'll, you know, at the same time, you know, they're expansion teams, so that's to be expected. But I don't know. It's a little bit tacky, you know, not the biggest fan of it. I understand it. I see why they're doing it. You know, I'm kind of indifferent about it. A little bit funny to laugh about. I don't think it's as bad as Minnesota's Wild fans one. That's freaking hilarious. And maybe that's because
or Nashville's.
Or I was gonna mention, yeah. Nashville's too. Yeah. Nashville's was cringe.
Yeah, yeah. So like, you know, having any excuse you can to fill up your rafters, I guess, is, you know, what teams and franchises want to do. But I don't know. Kind of funny. Well,
as Jeremiah said, like, you need to do something memorable and you need to, like, you know, kind of like have a legacy like that in the, with the team, you know?
Right.
Right. So some reason for some people to remember you and be like, yeah. Oh yeah. Like if Marian Hossa had his number retired, I wouldn't be against that. I'm like, he's the reason why the Blackhawks won so many times.
Right.
Well, he actually has a legacy.
I think something memorable that fans will never forget definitely has to be Marc-Andre Fleury tonight. So 29 definitely should go into the rafters now, right? Like, yeah. Something memorable. He gave up a couple bad goals tonight. He was not his best outing. He's trending right now on Twitter. So never going to be forgotten until they start winning some games, hopefully.
Reword.
I don't know.
Positive legacy.
Oh, positive. Okay.
Positive legacy. You score shorthanded goal, 5-on-4, Nashville Predators, Patrick Kane. Memorable. Then go on to score the game winning goal for Stanley Cup final and probably the most odd Stanley Cup final winner in history. Memorable. Goes on to score 1,000 points to play 1,000 games. Memorable. 88 rafters. Boom. Good. Marc-Andre Fleury, number 29. Pittsburgh Penguins, definitely rafters. Chicago Blackhawks, definitely not. Because what is this? But
I think, yeah, it's funny because when you think about like memorable things for Seattle to do, I think it's funny because it's so hard to compare Seattle to Vegas because like the Golden Knights, like Vegas is Vegas. Like they literally just made their whole first game like a whole Vegas show, like tacky, you know,
right?
The cheese of Vegas sort of thing. Like that was actually pretty funny and pretty cool. Like I found that, I'm like, okay, it makes sense for Vegas. Of all places, you know, you go to Las Vegas, the first thing you notice is, okay, this place is cheesy, you know, whatever. But, for Seattle, they're not Las Vegas, so they can't really do that. So I guess that's, you know, all they kind of had. But,
I mean, it's really cool with Vegas, for example. Like, when you have a team make it to the Stanley Cup final, and all of a sudden I want to watch the game, and I say, well, I need to watch, like, 30 minutes before because I want to watch the on-ice show before the game. Like, that's just really cool to see with the team in general. I know we're getting off topic a little bit, but, like, Vegas' on-ice performances, pretty cool to see. I don't really like the team that much, but, gosh, that's awesome.
They call it, like, nighttime or something. Like, and it starts,
exactly.
Right.
It's pretty cool. They're like, yeah, come to Vegas for a show and some hockey as well.
They got a show both before and during the game. It's I can't miss.
They have, like, their whole fortress.
Right.
The top level, like it's a whole thing over there, and that's, you know, good for them. Good for them.
Yeah.
They can.
You know what? Let's change gears a little bit here because we just talked about a little fun hockey story. Got another good one, but also at the same time, this one's going to hurt a little bit. Right now, if you were to say like this one team is the best team in hockey right now, and they are the early favorite to win the Stanley Cup, the Florida Panthers would be that team.
Just about to see the Florida Panthers. That might not be a popular opinion, but
they No. I fully agree with you. They have
it's a popular opinion.
Yeah,
it's popular.
They have every single piece you need to win the Stanley Cup. They got Panthers veterans now, they got coach, they got the stars, they got the supporting cast, they got the goaltenders, plural, goaltenders, and they have the grit. They are almost the identical blueprint of the 2010 Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks, coached by Joel Quenneville. Because
let me name the teams they've beat so far in their first five games. Pittsburgh Penguins,
Tampa,
New York Islanders, Tampa Bay Lightning, Colorado Avalanche, and then the Philadelphia Flyers. Those first four teams, really good teams. Avalanche, Tampa Bay Lightning, New York Islanders, those are three different types of teams. You have the Colorado Avalanche that are like the other up-and-coming team right now, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the champions, and then the New York Islanders, a team that is great defensively, which they totally obliterated them 5-1.
And they also obliterated the Hawks too, but maybe too soon, but it's okay. But yeah, no, Florida, very good team. Like you said, like that was a, I liked Jeremiah's like quote saying like very, very close to the 2010 Blackhawks team. And I would be so happy for them to win their first ever Stanley Cup and get Joel Quenneville another one. Like that'd be awesome. So like,
I forget Jumbo Joe, man.
Yeah. Yep.
Joe Thornton.
Joe Thornton. Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's playing in, he's down there right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's signed there in the offseason. So yeah. I'm like, well, if the Blackhawks don't make it, we know who we are going to cheer for, don't we?
Oh, I'm already cheering for him. Like, I'm,
yeah.
Like, they're, I've always, you know, I always like non-traditional hockey markets to perform well just because, you know, you don't really see that very often. And I've always been kind of a proponent. Like, they made the playoffs a couple of years ago, lost to the Islanders, but, and like during that run, like with Luongo, I was like, oh, yeah, like, I'd love for Florida to win it. Like, that'd be so cool. A team that's typically not even like, you know, kind of thought in the basement of the league, you know, down in the dump sort of thing. So that'd be fantastic if they won. I hope this trend continues for them. They're undefeated currently. And I would love it. I mean, hopefully they can keep it up down there in Florida. But
you got to find positive somewhere and you got to watch some good hockey at sometimes. Like, I mean,
and, so I hope Edmonton, you know, doesn't win a Stanley Cup.
Hey, Edmonton's undefeated right now too. So.
Edmonton's on fire, man.
Oil on white, Jimmy Lynch. But no, I saw a super funny. I was listening to a podcast, maybe Puck Soup on the Athletic, and one of them was like, "It looks like the Oilers are going to be able to score their way out of any problems this season." So that's what it looks like.
When you have like Connor McDavid is already on pace for over 200 points.
He's a monster.
Like.
He's a good hockey player. Pretty good.
Connor McDavid needs another league.
Connor McDavid has played in 5 games right now, Pat. And Jeremiah. 5 games. How many points would you say he has?
20.
Don't look it up.
20.
17.
Let's not go that high. Hi, guys. Now you guys are – now it doesn't seem as good.
I didn't look at anything. Boy. I promise you.
He has 13 points, so you both overshot it. But hey,
yeah, what the heck? He's so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, only 13.
Only 13 points in 5 games.
Goals,
wow.
6 goals and 7 assists through the first 5 games of the season.
Wow, what a noob. I expected more from him.
That's it? Come on. And the sad thing is like Leon Draisaitl also has 11, but yet McDavid has 13. So which one is everyone talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, but
they have more combined than the entire Blackhawks team right now.
But if we're being honest, I mean, they're going to get exposed come playoff time. You can't score your way out of every situation. I mean, maybe the regular season you can, but in the playoffs, it gets physical.
That's the thing this year, especially, which I know we probably don't want to all be talking about the Edmonton Oilers, but they've been getting that depth scoring this year, which is what they've been missing in the years past. You have Zach Hyman, or not Zach Hyman. He's been one of their top guys. Zach Kassian has 3 goals in the first 4 games that he's been playing in. Warren Fogle scored a big goal. Like, you're getting goals from different guys, which is what they need to do. And heck, what the Blackhawks need to do. But the Blackhawks, more importantly, they're missing their top guys doing it. DeBrincat only having 2 goals is not going to work. And Kane only scoring 1, that's not going to work. Kane, I'm not worried about Patrick Kane because obviously he's going to turn it on eventually.
Yeah.
But like, he ended last year not scoring a lot. And then during the offseason, he talked about like a lingering injury that's been bothering him. And then once this year came back, he was like, kind of just like, oh yeah, it's just something that you deal with or something. So that's a little nervous, like a little off-putting to me to have your guy who you need to be that great. And he might not be at 100%.
Yeah.
This entire team needs to pick it up. The fact that they have no, like, there is no depth on this team right now. And the thing that they were so proud about through many articles by the Blackhawks website, Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, The Athletic, I can go on and on, was how they now have offensive depth. Where has it been so far? They have no depth whatsoever. The third line of Strome, Gaudette, and Borgstrom did all the work on even strength today. There's no depth. It's horrible. What this team needs is for their stars to turn it up and their depth guys to actually do what they need to do. The fourth line has no energy. That's a problem. First line, no production. Insane problem. Stars have no points. Horrible problem. And your sniper, Alex Brinkett, is snake bitten. Also a horrible problem. Everything needs to, okay, I said in the first podcast, your preview this season, I'm pretty sure Jimmy knows, I don't know if Pat was on, but I said everything about this team has to go to plan. Everything has to work and everything has to fit together to actually make this actually work. What we see so far, nothing is working out. And that's, I mean, we're in for a long season and an even longer off season if, you know, they don't pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so let me just say this, like, going into this game, the big thing I kept just thinking to myself was the Blackhawks just have to beat Detroit. And even if they do beat Detroit, I'm going to have like a bit of a sour feeling in my mouth because it's Detroit. Like, they should beat Detroit. You know what I mean? Like, Detroit is not Tampa Bay. They're not Colorado. They're not Florida. It's Detroit. It's not Carolina. It's a team that is on paper. That's the big thing. On paper going into the season, Detroit was going to be a lot lower than the Blackhawks.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's really what hurts. It's the fact that they still did not get it together.
Yeah, we're begging for a win against the Detroit Red Wings. And I mean, maybe if we said that 10 years ago, that makes sense. But now it's like, you know, that's usually a bottom feeder team. And maybe that's what the Blackhawks are now. Maybe they're, I mean, on paper, they shouldn't be. And according to plan, they shouldn't be. But from what we've seen so far, like, they're playing like a team that's going to be a bottom feeder and, or, you know, the basement of the league standings. And, you know, it's frustrating to watch as a fan. I don't know much to say. It's just at this point we can talk about what we've seen and what's going wrong, but you know, what cost? It's just, if this is going to be a bottom feeder team, something's got to happen, obviously. You know,
the thing is that they shouldn't be.
They shouldn't be. No, they shouldn't.
This is by far the most talented team the Blackhawks have had since 2017. Pretty sure we can all come to agreement on this. On paper, this is by far the best team they have put on the ice since 2018. With that said, Kobe Cohen, I think, he's a new analyst on NBC Sports Chicago. And he also said this, where it's not a talent issue. It's an execution issue. And who's in charge of the execution? Now, mind you, broadcasters and reporters who work for the Blackhawks cannot say Jeremy Colliton is the issue. They need to get rid of him immediately. But you can tell based on the minor like nudges and punches that they put out there that they are frustrated with the coach. Because the coach is the entire – okay, this may be completely controversial, but in my mind, the coach is the final puzzle piece for any team. I'm pretty sure that's my personal opinion. I'm pretty sure that it might be your guys' too, because what the coach is supposed to do is that you're supposed to put the guys in positions and in systems in which they can't succeed. I know we talked about this and said that we're not going to mention any, like, we're not going to mention you know who in this entire podcast, but here we go. He has not done that in 4 years. This entire team is flopping 4 years. They look lost in every season so far. And like, I'm pretty sure we can come to consensus. The coach is the final puzzle piece for this team to pick it up and actually get to the playoffs. And they have a short amount of time to do that because we're now 6 games in.
Right.
And We see the Central Division too, right? They are insanely competitive right now. Not insanely, but they are really competitive. Where it was, we assumed to be seven teams, right, who are aiming for that playoff spot. We're expecting five teams to get through because the Pacific is so bad. But what we're seeing right now is that the Blackhawks are trying to fend for second to last place in their division and even in the league with the Arizona Coyotes. That's not supposed to happen. And it's happening. Like, the coach has to be changed unless they want to be a bottom feeder and give up their fourth overall pick to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, that's helped them add to the rebuild. So bad. That's what's so bad too. Even if they tank, they don't even get that pick.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? Like,
I've been on the I don't like this Seth Jones trade since it happened.
Jimmy's but been then, on like, he really loves the Seth Jones trade since it happened.
Like, so, I like the Seth Jones trade if they had the coach who could put him in the situation to do well. He played 26, 28 minutes in the past three games, and he looked like he was on, like, okay, let me see how I can put this in a nice way. He just sucked for 26, 28 minutes. Nothing like screamed, I'm an elite defenseman who's getting paid $9.5 million starting next season. He looked like a guy who was on the same level as like Riley Stillman. There is nothing eye-catching. There's nothing eye-catching about this guy. Nothing eye-catching about this team. Fans fell asleep tonight because this team was so boring to watch. Where does it become too much, right?
We got seven more years left after this one, so.
Oh, my gosh.
We got a lot more Seth Jones.
We got a lot more Seth Jones hockey to watch.
But realistically, let's assume with what we know and what we think will happen is that they're not going to do anything about Carlton or Bowman. So they're obviously, and I say this in dead serious tone, they're not going to lose every single game this season. They're going to win, obviously. But
statistically, they need to.
But like, what at this point in time, realistically, if everything stays the same, not the play on the ice, but just like, okay, we keep Carlton, we keep Bowman, what is the ceiling for this team now? What is the ceiling for it? Are they going to bounce back and become that wild card team, or are they going to be a bottom feeder the rest of the year? Because realistically, they're going to win games. They're going to get hot at some points here or there. But is it going to be a team like a Buffalo, Arizona, bottom feeder sort of team? Or are we going to like be in the middle of the pack again? Or are we going to make the playoffs? Like, what's the realistic expectation as of Sunday, October 24th, 2021?
76-5-1. That's the ending.
That's the ending record.
Oh, I thought you said what the ceiling is. That's if everything turns around, right?
But realistically, what's the ceiling? You know, like, what do you guys think is going to happen from here on out if the management is constant?
Statistically, at best, they are going to be a wild card team. That is their ceiling right now, because based on their start, I don't think they can reach that third Central Division spot. Right.
You already think because of the first six games going that bad, it's already out of the picture.
There's been nothing about their game that has given me any form of confidence so far. When you're rotating four lines with a dump and chase on every four, like on all four lines, the defensemen pinch when they shouldn't. They can't get net front presence.
You're not saying the record is too hard to overcome. No. It's the fact that just the team's playing has shown that they're not good enough to be more than that.
My thing is that, their record, anybody can get out of a bad start, right? But you need to show signs that you have the potential and the play style and the system and the personnel to get out of that slow start. I've not seen that in any point in this season. And they have absolutely bored everybody watching those games because they can't establish anything other than the third line of, I said, Strom, Gaudette, and Borgstrom. Their ceiling is wild card, right? Because statistically, they will still win games, but they'll still lose games too.
Right.
That's the big thing right now is like, there's no way in my mind or in general that this team is going to turn around and win five straight or win six straight and get back to 500 right now. This is going to be a long season of them. Like, it's going to take them probably until if they turn this around and started playing better hockey, they are still going to be flirting with a losing record until probably the end of November, like just trying to get back there to 500. So something needs to change. Something needs to change.
Let's bring up the
St. Louis Blues. Even say.
Let's bring up the St. Louis Blues of 2019 for a little bit. Last in the
we're
league,
not the St. Louis Blues of 2019.
Last in the league in January, right? with the playoff caliber roster, with the personnel that you need to win. They fire their coach. They promote their assistant coach. They rampage through the final half of the season, and they win the Stanley Cup. That's like the dream scenario for the Chicago Blackhawks now, right? Because they are second last in the league. They show no sign of getting out of that for a little while based on how they're playing right now. I said they're seeing his wild card. But if they change that one part of their team, potentially Stanley Cup run. That's a fair positive outlook.
Too early
that's a
to
fair. Go for it, Pat.
Too early to say that we're sellers? Trade deadline?
I don't think they would sell. I think they spent too much to sell.
Yeah.
Can you sell? Like, you could trade Kelvin Dehan. Trade Marc-Andre Fleury.
Anybody want Seth Jones' contract? Anyone?
No one wants that, man. They got Connor Murphy, maybe. Kelvin Dehan. Maybe Alex Debrinkat, but they're not trading him. There's no chance. Maybe Dom Kubalik, but I don't think so either. They're not going to sell anybody. Whether it be contract or the fact that they're untouchable. It's
like realistically in the next, like Jimmy was saying, by the end of November, like you got Toronto, Carolina, St. Louis, Ottawa, Carolina, Winnipeg, Nashville, Pittsburgh, Arizona, Seattle, the West Coast trip, Seattle, Edmonton, Vancouver, Calgary, St. Louis, San Jose. So like out of those handful of games, like, okay, you can beat Ottawa or you, okay, I can say could when I really should be saying should, but Ottawa.
I agree with that.
Should beat Ottawa. Maybe you can steal the Winnipeg game. You're going to lose to Carolina. You're probably going to lose to St. Louis. Probably going to lose to Toronto. Maybe you can steal a game at home against Nashville. Probably going to lose at home to Pittsburgh. You should be Arizona. You go out on the West Coast. It's a long trip, obviously, but I think you can beat Seattle. You're probably not going to beat Edmonton because they're just going to light the lamp. So Jimmy will get to write a nice oil and white article about that when that happens.
And a sad Blackhawk Up article.
Yeah,
same time.
I'll do that. I'll bite the bullet for that one, buddy.
And then at Vancouver, you should win. At Calgary, you theoretically should win that. You come back home to St. Louis, you're probably not going to win. Come back home again, San Jose, then you're out of November. So you're probably looking at November, you know, around 500 maybe. And on top of what already we have. So, you know, like Jimmy said, it's going to take some big wins to dig themselves out of the start.
I would totally not be surprised if we, in another week, are still talking about not only this, but trying to get a win. Like, just looking at that schedule.
Yeah.
There's a fair chance that this is still going on. Like, that's the amazing thing is.
There's a high chance.
There's a high chance. The one difference I want to mention, Jeremiah, that you mentioned the Blues comparison, which I love to hear. That's something we all want to believe.
We hate the Blues. Right. No, I'm kidding.
This is positive outlook. This is the only thing I got positive about this entire season so far.
So let's mention this about the Blues, though. Before they went on that run and turned things around to win that Stanley Cup, in the previous seven seasons before that, they had made the playoffs six of those times. The only time they didn't make the playoffs was in 2017-18 when they missed with 94 points, barely missing the playoffs. The Blackhawks are a team that have pretty much a completely new group and is trying to do something together that they haven't done before, you know? And with that St. Louis thing, like literally 2 to 3 years beforehand, they were in the conference final, then they were in the second round. Then they missed the playoffs, and then they won that Stanley Cup. It's a fair comparison on paper where it's like they had a bad start and then they turned things around after a coaching change. But they were just such a better team already than the Blackhawks are now. You know what I mean? And I want to believe
that.
I want – because you look at the Blackhawks and it's like, well, you know, they've missed the playoffs, made the playoffs because of something a little stupid and like the bubble and they lucked their way into it. My favorite complaint.
They made the playoffs because Gary Bettman wanted them to make the playoffs.
True. Like, going to actually go back to 12, and we're going to go back to 12 based off of point percentage, not points. Like, that's how you get Chicago and Montreal into the playoffs. And
I mean, yeah, I think it's realistic that very realistic that this team's first win will not come until a week from tomorrow on Monday, November 1st against Ottawa. That's like the next game where I'm like, okay, they can win that game. They're not going to beat Toronto. They're not going to beat Carolina. They're not going to beat St. Louis. They're just not. No way.
The way they're playing now, absolutely not.
No, no. So it might take till November to get the team's first win. And by that point, you might be too far out of anything to.
You would be way too far behind to make the playoffs after that.
Yeah, right. No, like you talk, I mean, like, okay, oh yeah, it's only November 1st. You get your first win. You can still, no. Like at that point, even though the only a, you know, what that would be like maybe a little bit more than 10 games have been played. Like you can eliminate yourself from the playoffs quicker than you think.
Right.
Well, that's the amazing thing, because when we always talk about this team every game, it's like they're behind two goals early, so now they have to build their way back up. But now they're doing the same thing in the standings. Like,
exactly.
It's a frustrating night.
They were better last season than they are now with the same coach.
And a better outlook, because it was like, well, we're rebuilding and we just have all these young guys. Exactly. Look at how great they're playing.
Look at how great they're playing. We got a first-round pick. We can add on to our rebuild. And then what did they do? They traded Adam Boqvist, Cole Sillinger, who is on the Columbus Blue Jackets right now. Another first-round pick of this season, which is probably going to be a lottery pick, unless it's tough. We win the lottery somehow, and we get the first overall pick this season because it's protected, and a second-round pick. We could have had all four of those same assets on our team, with Dougie Hamilton probably. And then we wouldn't be talking about how bad the season is, because like, I'm pretty sure everybody's talking how bad the season is. It's because we're like, okay, we are reloading. We're going for the playoffs because we were so close last season. And then you just blew it up completely. And then now you're back at square one with the veterans. And that's not a good idea.
I never heard Jimmy's response to, because Jeremiah said he didn't like the Seth Jones contract. We never got Jimmy's rebuttal about how he likes the Seth Jones contract. So.
I think my Wi-Fi cut out there. Anyway. No, I mean, I still think it makes sense. Like, before these last seven games or whatever, it's like, I still think the idea of adding a Seth Jones quality player is something that is going to work out in the long run for this team. I believe that Seth Jones' $9 million contract, or like $9.5 million contract in 9 years doesn't need to be proven in the first 10 games of the season. It doesn't need to be proven this year. I think over the course of his career now in Chicago, it's going to be the number one defenseman this team needs. He's still young. He's only 27 or 28 or whatever.
Maybe he has his good years within the next 2 or 3 years, and then it just becomes Brent Seabrook all over again.
No, but I'm just saying.
That's what I'm worried about. That's why
you have to contract. Guys, you have to understand. Like, Seth Jones is arguably the one or two players here that we can already pinpoint as they're going to be part of the next era of Blackhawks hockey. 2 to 3 seasons is a long time. By then, he'll only be like 30, 31 years old, still pretty much in the prime of his career, playing with a completely different looking team.
Isn't he 26?
He's 27 now.
Okay.
He turned 27 early in the year. So I'm just saying, like, in a couple years, it's too early just to be like, this Seth Jones contract's horrible. This team is horrible. This was a bad trade. Because, yeah, I mean, like, on paper, I know. But I'm just saying, like, Seth Jones is going to be here for a long time, and they have a long time to build a team around him to win. Like, yeah, if at the end of this long contract and this long time he hasn't won a Stanley Cup with the team, there you go. Light the fire. But I'll talk to you in 9 years about it.
Yeah, we'll be back here in 8 years and talk about how the Seth Jones trade ruined it.
Tweet at me about it. And tweet at you in 10 years. Whatever I'm doing.
I told you, Jimmy. I told you.
Yeah, Jeremiah.
I'm just saying it's very a good possibility that it could end up like Brent Seabrook again when you sign a guy for that long. Because back then we're like, oh yeah, we got Seabs for this long.
And then he got, you know,
we all know they signed Seabrook when he was like 34, 35. This guy was 26 when he signed this contract. Come on.
And now Seabrook is on the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Prime to win another Stanley Cup, isn't it? Right. Is there like a max amount of LTIR you could have?
Wait, is Chris Pronger technically still on the Coyotes?
No, come on. That's done.
That's been done for a while.
Marian Hossa.
We can say it's done, I think. I think we can say it at this point. It's done.
I'm sure he like always is under contract there, but like no, I'm pretty sure it's done.
Arizona Coyotes legend, Chris Pronger.
I wish we could talk about this team now with like contracts. Like, yeah, Seth Jones actually signed a 25-year contract with this team. And like just the amount, how long they used to sign like Duncan Keith for like 13 years.
That's, 13 years.
That's awesome.
That was a bargain too.
I still am a believer there was a writer here before who said that was one of the worst contracts on the team. And I don't understand how anyone could ever say that.
I fully disagree with that take.
Yeah, no, 100%. How could you ever think that?
Yeah.
Duncan Keith is Duncan Keith. Even, I hope he does well in Edmonton, but even like.
That was Jimmy just throwing in a nice little plug for one of my lines.
I wrote an article about how he wasn't really that good during the first couple games. Because he, like Corsi wise and all the different percentage things.
Salty Blackhawks fan.
His analytics were worse than it was here. So I was like, all right, he has to be a little bit better. Like, let's get him doing something. But I got all these comments saying, this is a Blackhawks fan. They just want him back on the team. No, that's not what I'm doing. Yeah, Duncan saved this team. They figured it out. I want him back in Chicago. Flurry for Keith, one for one.
They might actually do that, though.
Actually wouldn't mind that trade, to be completely honest. Seven for six, heck yeah.
Save it for after the
save it for February. Save it for February.
Yeah. Any final hopeful comments? Any final comments? Well said.
No. On the off chance that anybody from the Blackhawks organization hears this, good luck against Toronto, boys. Good luck. I wish you Godspeed because it's going to be ugly.
Please don't get booed off the ice for the fourth straight game.
I wish I could go there and boo them off the ice. That'd be fun. But
at this point, I feel like they'd rather play on the road.
They would. Like, it's literally a road 100%. Atmosphere for 82 games. They did not get cheered at all today, like tonight either. Like they're literally playing on the road in their own building. Everyone's saying like, oh, the United Center is such a great environment to play. Charlie Johnson said, I loved playing there when I was playing the Blackhawks because of the atmosphere. And now he's playing for the Blackhawks and the atmosphere is a full 180 than what it used to be. They're getting booed. They're getting cheered. Like the opponents are getting cheered. Then the Blackhawks are getting cheered.
Yeah, I'd cheer for the – if I was there, I was cheering for the Red Wings tonight. I would have started a Let's Go Red Wings chant. I mean,
the Let's Go Red Wings chant was the only thing I heard. I heard zero Let's Go Hawks.
And we go from let's go.
I heard Detroit sucks a few times.
Detroit sucks. Yeah.
I was wondering what that chant was. I was like, what is this like? Not.
I would have
chant.
Octopus.
I took my girlfriend to a preseason game. Wasn't even against Detroit, but a Detroit sucks chant started in the 300 level. She was so confused. She's like, why are they chanting this? I'm like, just because that's what we do here, no matter what.
Culture. If we have to remind 300 everyone, level is an experience. The 300
it's the level only way to UC. Watch a game. Are you kidding? Come on.
Yeah, and then you got the drunk fans are throwing ice at each other, getting into fights, throwing beer on each other. It's the best.
At least it's not college football where they're throwing mustard on the field and all these other garbage when they don't like the game. I think it was Tennessee or something, but I digress. Gentlemen, It was a hard time watching this game tonight, but it was great talking to you. So we're going to keep trying. We're going to hopefully be able to talk the minute they have a win. Tell you what, let's just set this right now between the three of us. The minute they win a game, we're recording a podcast right after.
Yeah.
Immediately after the game. The second the final, the second the broadcast is over, we're getting on.
So
get it going.
You guys have that to look and look forward to, or you're looking at hearing that and you're going to be like, okay, I hope they don't win a game because I don't want to listen to these guys. But you know, thank you for listening. Go Blackhawks. Good night.